Edition of Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And we're coming to you live from Coverthon, the annual event that I do to help raise money for Alzheimer's research. And we decided just, you know, let's just do a Soundography as part of the Coverthon. And it seemed to make the most sense to do it on something that is timely, maybe not a specific artist or even a specific year, but something that's very timely with Christmas music.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun and kind of low-key and laid-back and different format and just, you know, just a different kind of show. And I'm looking forward to it.
That's right. We'll give you enough that if you're a Soundography fan, you're going to love what we're talking about. But if you're brand new to Soundography, this is a good stepping stone into what we do as a part of our weekly podcast. And also joining us for this is George.
Hey.
Welcome, George.
Hello, thank you.
George. I forgot to do the intro there for you right there. So let's talk about Christmas music, because there's a bunch of different kinds of Christmas music, right? I mean, there are the traditional, but and when I'm saying traditional, I'm meaning more of like the choir, hallelujah chorus, the Nutcracker suite, things like that. And then there's the carols.
Yep.
The carols.
Yep.
And then you've got kind of the modern pop Christmas stuff, which, you know, you say modern pop, but things like White Christmas by Bing Crosby is still considered a pop Christmas song, even though it doesn't feel like there's anything modern about it. But when you're comparing it to stuff like Jingle Bells, it's definitely more modern.
Yeah, exactly. And and what's nice, though, is kind of to play to the Coverthon aspect of this. I actually used to do theater, and one of the things we used to do was a gospel-infused version of Handel's Messiah. So the first act of it was mostly the traditional, and then you throw in a gospel number on occasion. And then the end of the first act was this big infusion of gospel at the end of the first act. And then the second act was mostly the gospel with a few things traditionally infused, and the whole thing wrapped up with an enormous, like, gospel hallelujah roof-raising version of Handel, the hallelujah chorus. And it brought the house down, and it was so much fun to do.
It seems like hallelujah would just fit perfectly with a gospel style, so I can see that. I mean, it's choir, you know, you hear it as a choir song anyway, so injecting that special sauce that makes gospel, I think, seems like it would fit perfectly with that.
Yeah, it was one of the favorite things I did while working in theater.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, let's before we get into kind of the, you know, what makes our show, let's talk about some of those different styles and different genres and what is it that makes a Christmas song? Because it doesn't necessarily have to mention the words Christmas.
No.
It doesn't, you know, Let It Snow, I think, doesn't mention Christmas at all. And it was, as a matter of fact, it was written in the summer. It was written
as more of a plea for help instead of a...
Yeah, exactly. We're in the middle of California. It's hot. It's August. God, I could use some snow. The original title of the song, God, I could use some snow.
And I bet you money that the song I'll Be Home for Christmas was not written during Christmas time, because I guess the setting for that song is it's actually a World War II a soldier writing a letter to his family saying that he's going to be home for Christmas.
Right.
Which changes the context of it to be one of the sadder songs.
It still is one of the saddest damn songs, Christmas songs ever, I think.
I worked on another theater stories. I worked on 1940s Radio Hour, and we had a soldier that in the play, and some nights he would do a rousing number of Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy of Company B, and then other nights, when he was feeling, I guess, more morose, he would do a I'll Be Home for Christmas. And when he did that one, there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Oh, bad. Gee, many Christmas. Bipolar much? Holy cow. All right. So talking about some of these songs that, what makes a Christmas song, Christmas song, obviously mentioning Santa, mentioning, the holidays and snow and stuff like that fits with the Christmas thing, but it's not a requirement, obviously. No. I would, you know, we were talking about the Christmas movies on our last episode, and I think just because a song comes out at Christmas doesn't necessarily make it a Christmas song. Kind of like what you're saying with Sweeney Todd and the Lord of the Rings movies. I don't think we can apply that here.
No, and it's funny because I really think that the Christmas songs run a whole range of emotion. I mean, you've got your sad songs mm-hmm. like we covered. You've got your funny mm-hmm. ones, like your straight parodies, like the Bob River right. stuff, like walking mm-hmm. around in women's underwear and right. singing "O Little Town of Bethlehem" to "House of the Rising Sun." You know, you just
right.
You've got those kind of things that people do. Then you have the kids' songs like Rudolph and Santa Claus is Coming to Town and those kind of things.
Frosty.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you have religious songs like Silent Night and the Messiah, like we covered. And then you have like these love songs, like these either mournful love songs or these declaring true love songs, like "All I Want for Christmas Is You."
Oh, right. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Like the Mariah Carey business.
Yeah. And, so you've got these, I don't know if there's a formula for it other than it ends up on a Christmas album. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if there's an actual like 1+1=Christmas on this one.
No, I don't think so. I think it's any of these elements, including any of these elements really puts you in the Christmas, Christmas song category.
Yeah. And if Barbara Streisand can do a Christmas album, then almost anyone can.
Sure. Right. So, all right. Can you think of what's the most un-Christmassy Christmas song you can think of? In other words, it's a song that you hear around the holidays, but it isn't necessarily, you know, there's really nothing about it that makes it a Christmas song.
All right. For me, it would be the Trans-Siberian Orchestra's version, that thing they do called Wizards in Winter. Because other than the title, there is nothing that says Christmas about it.
And this is the one that people set their Christmas lights.
Yes, this is the famous one.
Right?
This is the famous one. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great one. Dang, I bet it's probably going to be better than my. I was going to say Greensleeves.
That's a good one.
Because there's nothing at all about it that says Christmas.
Yeah. Or
well, it depends on the version because. Same melody but different lyrics is "What Child Is This?"
Oh, which, that's right. Yeah. That totally is it. Okay.
You can't help him. That's not fair.
Totally is. How come I didn't know that?
Well, and then you've got things like...
which came first?
The chicken or the egg.
Right.
You've got things like Good King Wassel Mix or whatever it is.
Wenceslas?
Yeah.
good King Waffle Mix. Sure.
So, I mean, you've got lots of things in there, but I think, again, I think the only thing that sets it to a Christmas album, if it doesn't say it directly in it, would be the album it shows up on. Like all the Kenny G stuff, if it's not a direct Christmas cover, it's just a man playing saxophone.
Oh, yeah, totally is. Yeah, I'm looking at the lyrics for Good King Wenceslas, and it just mentions snow. That's it. Yeah. Frost.
The Feast of Stephen.
Right. And what is that? What is the Feast of Stephen?
Something that happens in winter, apparently.
Something that happens in Sweeney Todd, if you ask them.
That's interesting. Okay, yeah. So Saint Stephen's Day, which would think be Stephen's Day or Saint Stephen's Day. December 27th is when that's celebrated. The first Christian martyr or proto-martyr.
Proto-martyr.
Well, that sounds awesome.
Coming to a Marvel comic near you.
Exactly. Proto-Martyr Man, Excelsior.
Oh, my gosh. There was even a 2009 film by directed by James Franco called The Feast of Stephen. I don't know if it was related to the song. Or
you
if
have
it
to
was
watch
just
it with your eyes squinted.
And in Colorado, you have to have some special substance to enjoy while you watch
it. Frogfan 82563 actually mentions that the Mr. Grinch song out of context is just a song about a guy who.
Oh yeah. Who's just mean.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Well, now that brings up an interesting story. I mean, or not an interesting story, but an interesting thought. I mean, if you take some of these songs outside of the Christmas movies and TV shows that they're a part of.
Linus and Lucy thing.
The Linus and Lucy, but even moreover, the
Christmas time.
What is that thing called? Christmas time.
Yeah,
that's kind of got the words Christmas right there in the title.
Steve Vai actually does a really, really good cover of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, I'll bet. Just all guitar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, I'll bet that's great. All right, cool. Okay. Well, let's see here. Because for this one, we're actually going to be playing... we're going to be playing segments of their songs, right?
No, I thought we were
playing the full
songs.
Are we going to do the full songs?
Yeah, I thought we were going to do the full thing. That's why
we're going to do the full damn songs.
Yeah.
Because mine are all originals.
Yeah.
I'm not playing any covers as part of this, so...
I think I've got... a couple, but they're weird arrangements of them.
Okay.
One's a really good arrangement. Most of the others are just weird.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, Linky McScouts brings up Same Old Lang Syne, which the met his old lover in a grocery store on Christmas Eve, and what they went and did in the car or something, fogged up the windows. I can't remember. Isn't that the deal? Oh, no. She married an architect, and he was...
What's weird is it all happened on the Titanic, and then it sank a little bit later with one of them on a door.
Right. That's right. Yeah, nothing happened because she was married to an architect, and he was on the road all the time. And
sounds like a Billy Joel song.
Kind of does, right? And there we were waving What's-Her-Face and Eddie goodbye.
Brenda Renetti.
Brenda and Eddie, right. Very good. I like having the producer of the peanut gallery here to tell.
Yeah, you've got your own Roz going.
I totally do, yeah. All right. Anything we want to cover? There's some things you've got here in the list that we probably want to cover before we get to our picks.
Well, I was just thinking about songs that we always think about when we get to classic Christmas songs. I mean, there's the sleigh ride. And I don't know if Jingle Bells and Sleigh Ride and Carol of the Bells and White Christmas – I don't know if you can go through the month of December and not hear those at least half a dozen, a dozen times. Mm-hmm. And in just as many different versions. I mean the Spice Girls did a version of Sleigh Ride, for Pete's sake.
And they did. They also did a cover of the Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is an interesting cover choice for them, but works really well.
And then, of course, you've got things like Jingle Bell Rock, which they actually did a documentary about.
Oh, really? About the making of that?
No, it's just the history of Jingle Bell Rock, just how many people have done it and the songwriting and the whole thing. It's a great documentary about it, so highly recommend that. And then you've got, like I said, you've got these modern Christmas songs, and some of the more modern ones, meaning post-80s, are kind of strange. Mm-hmm. But there are a few that are good. You've got Last Christmas, which is, I guess, 80s.
Right.
And Do They Know, which is 80s. But then you've got things like Savatage doing the Christmas Eve Sarajevo 1224, which is which is Carol of the Bells, but it's amped up to 11.
Yeah.
And then
there's a Simon and Garfunkel song, too, where they do Silent Night, I think, but it's with a news broadcast in the background.
Oh, wow.
And it's not called Silent Night. It's called something else.
Yeah, you're ringing a bell there.
Bridge over Silent Night. The sound of Silent Night.
50 ways to silent your night. Silence your night.
And then you've got a band called Killola, which did a song called Santa, Give Me Something I Can Use, which is interesting. Then you've got the Hanukkah song by Adam Sandler, Come on Santa by the Raveonettes. And then the Winter Song by Sarah Bareilles and Ingrid Michaelson. So these are all new songs, and they're kind of the new songs that don't suck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of nice to see original Christmas music still being churned out and not just covers of the same old stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Are there any Christmas songs you absolutely hate?
There are a couple, and I can't think of them off the top of my head, but there are a couple that if I hear them again, it's going to cause me to kind of have a conniption.
All right, I'm going to give you a couple.
Okay.
By the way, I think it's White Christmas 3 o'clock Weather Report was the Simon and Garfunkel. If I never hear the song Santa Baby again, I'll be just fine.
That's a good one. In fact, at some point when we're not doing this show, I'm going to tell you a really funny story that happened at work based on that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I like the Eartha Kitt version, but I think just ever since then, it's just, it's turned into something a little bit darker and, you know, here's this woman basically saying, all right, you know, I'll stay up late. Sammy, go ahead, come down the chimney, and I'll be lying naked on the couch. Yeah. Whatever, well, whatever that, happens, happens.
Which is weird because the sequel to that song is "I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus."
Is that the sequel?
Yeah, that's a sequel. Like, you sing it back to back, all of a sudden it gets a whole new meaning of mom.
Wow. Yeah.
E-Blaze mentions
got a thing for red velvet and white fluff.
E-Blaze mentions the 12 Days of Christmas. And now I will say that song's got its moments where it's annoying, but there was a comedian, I think it was Rodney Carrington, that actually said it must have been written by Alfred Hitchcock because of all the birds. And ever since then, I've had a new appreciation for it because I think of it as a birds reference.
I have to say that is my favorite traditional Christmas song, even though it's so hated by so many.
Yeah, it is the 99 bottles of beer on the wall of Christmas songs. Best version of that, though, speaking of beer, is the Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Yeah, yes. You can't go wrong with that one.
Yep. And a lot of Rush love on, or Canadian love on this the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we mentioned the other Bob and Doug McKenzie showed up twice now.
Right. That's right. Top of the list for me, least favorite Christmas song, Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
Really?
I feel like that song took him all of 2 minutes and 30 seconds to write.
Okay, now here's a question for you. Is there an artist that you would like to hear redo it that could save the song?
I don't think anybody could, because it's... Because it's not about the performance. I don't mind the, you know, the the keyboards.
Yeah.
You do that so well.
It's pretty dumb.
Wow, that's actually,
right?
Yeah. I think, wow.
It's the lyrics. They're just so...
Simply having a wonderful Christmas
so
time?
So basic. And there's nothing, like, you're not going to listen to the song saying, wow, I wonder what their Christmas is like. It's right there. It's like, we're having a great Christmas. That's our lyrics.
That is
That's
the I've Got My Mind Set on You of Christmas songs, though.
It kind of is. Right. Well, kids are singing their song. They practiced all day long. I couldn't even come up with a couplet that had the same number of syllables in it.
Well, since we're on that topic, one of my least favorite has got to be Happy Christmas War is Over. That just seems to be interminable. And then I think that... one song that took even less thought to put together than the McCartney one was Jose Feliciano's Feliz Navidad.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
You know, it's funny. When I actually started learning Spanish, I realized just how silly that song was.
Sure. Yeah, it's basically, it's the same lyrics, just in English and then in Spanish. Or no, in Spanish and then in English and then back to Spanish.
Yeah, it's like the Sesame Street Christmas song because they're teaching you the Spanish as they go.
Kind of is, yeah, right.
But that actually, so that brings me to, there's a list of the most popular Christmas songs that I found, and it's got The Christmas Song by Nat King Cole from 1961, Merry Little Christmas by Judy Garland.
Happy, that's a good one.
Happy Christmas by John Lennon, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee, 1958, and the Santa Claus is Coming to Town version by Bruce Springsteen.
And these are ones that charted the highest?
Well, these are ones that I found when I was doing research that actually listed as some of the most popular Christmas songs of all time.
Okay. Interesting.
I also found a reading of The Night Before Christmas by Henry Rollins.
Really?
Yeah, and it's really good. It was hard for me not to put that on the list, but I figured since this was music and that spoken word, it wouldn't work. But it's really, really good.
Okay. Oh, I like that. I'll have to look for that because I like his spoken word stuff.
Yeah.
I actually like his spoken word stuff more than his
Rollins Band stuff.
Rollins Band and Butthole Surfers and stuff like that. Because he tells some amazing stories. I mean, the guy is a great storyteller.
Yeah.
Etnam in the chat room, Etnam554, says, "My favorite things." And that's another one that's associated with Christmas. Is it just because you've got some beautiful packages tied up with string?
I guess, but...
Warm woolen mittens?
Yeah, I mean, it takes place in the winter, I guess. Yeah. But it's... It's from Sound of Music, but it's not really a Christmas list. No. She's not like, you know, "Dear Santa, Here's my, I'm registered at
Bed Bath and Christmas
Body
Mitts.
Works.
Yeah.
Right. Here's what I want from Kohl's. Thanks.
What was it? Bed Bath and dresses made from the curtains.
Right. I'm so, registered at Helmet Kohl's.
So that's the thing, though, is, okay, so Ten Commandments is shown every Easter.
Sure.
Was traditionally Sound of Music shown around Christmas time? Like when on network TV would show those movies? Like,
yeah, and Wizard of Oz is typically shown around Thanksgiving. Right?
I think so.
When do they usually show Wizard of Oz? There's usually right around a holiday, though, isn't it?
Isn't it more near Easter?
No, Ten Commandments they show near Easter.
Yeah, I don't know.
I kind of remember Wizard being sometime in the late summer or fall.
Okay, like so Labor Day viewing of Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
Okay, so earlier than that. All right, cool. All right, I'm looking at your notes here. You've got a Christmas trivia list.
Yeah,
here.
Do you want to do this?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you even have to ask?
I will ask the questions, and then I'll give you the score at the end.
Okay.
All right. In 1953, this Christmas song was Eartha Kitt's biggest hit of her career. Blue Christmas, Mr. Grinch, Santa Baby, or Here Comes Santa Claus?
Yep, I mentioned that one earlier. Yep. It's Santa Baby.
In 1942, Bing Crosby and Ken Darby, and the Ken Darby Singers, along with John Scott Trotter's Orchestra, sang this Irving Berlin song in the movie Holiday Inn. What is the name of that song? I'll Be Home for Christmas, Oh Christmas Tree, Let It Snow, or White Christmas?
Well, White Christmas, I'm pretty sure, is the one. I mean, that's the one that you always associate with Bing Crosby. But I remember hearing him doing I'll Be Home for Christmas as well. But Irving Berlin, White Christmas, I'm pretty sure that's the one.
In 1946, Nat King Cole recorded a hit with a song about chestnuts roasting on an open fire. What is the name of that song? Little Drummer Boy, I Want for Christmas is You. That changes that song. Think about nuts roasting on an open fire. The Christmas Song in Silent Night.
That's the Christmas song.
In 1947, Gene Autry recorded a song in which he told listeners that hang your stockings and say your prayers because Santa Claus comes tonight. What's the name of this song? First Noel, Here Comes Santa Claus, Joy to the World, We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
That's Here Comes Santa Claus.
Okay. Jimmy Boyd was 12 years old in 1952 when he scored a hit song about something that happened under the mistletoe. What is that? Last Christmas, Baby It's Cold Outside, Jolly Old St. Nicholas, or I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus?
It's underneath the mistletoe. Yeah, it is. I Saw Mama Kissing Santa Claus.
Yep. Let's see. This song was recorded by Vaughn Monroe in 1945 and opens with the line, "Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire inside is so delightful. And since we've no place to go," what's the name of the song?
Don't give me the choice on this one. It's Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. Is it titled three times or is it just...
It's just the one time.
Just once? Oh, yeah. Okay.
In 1949, Gene Autry recorded a song about a famous reindeer.
That'd be Rudolph?
Yes. Is it the blue-eyed reindeer or the red-nosed reindeer?
Do we need the whole thing?
No.
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, and Vixen. It's Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer.
I just said the blue-eyed was an option, actually. So
blue-eyed, the blue-eyed reindeer.
It's the Frank Sinatra of reindeers.
That's right.
Oh, blue eyes. In 1953, Bing Crosby had a huge hit song originally called Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht in German. What's the name of this song?
That's Silent Night, Holy Night.
Yep. Or the other option, Feliz Navidad.
I want to wish you a silent night.
In 1946, the Andrews Sisters and Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadian Orchestra released a song in which they asked listeners if they'd like to spend Christmas in a special location. What is the name of this special place? Christmas Island, the North Pole, Hawaii, or New York?
Oh, this is one I'm not sure of. Andrew's Sisters. I was thinking, don't sit under the Christmas tree with anybody else but me, but that's an apple tree. there's a lot less room under there.
It's a whole lot more pokey.
Yeah. I got needles everywhere. Let's say New York on that one.
Okay.
Christmas in Hawaii, Christmas in New York. Yeah, that's a tough one. Okay. Let's say New York.
In 1948, the song was released by Spike Jones and the City Slickers. Jingle Bells, White Christmas, All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth, or Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Yeah, it was All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth.
And that says, I'm done, show me the answers.
All right.
The only one you got wrong was number nine.
Andrew's Sisters.
And yeah, it's actually Christmas Island.
Oh, really? Christmas Island.
Yep.
Wow, I've never heard that.
Which is the Alcatraz of Christmas.
That's right. Is there a Santa Claus Lane on Christmas Island? No, but there's a little guy saying, boss, boss, dislay, dislay. Very good. All right, let's get to our picks. So as we do on Soundography, we each pick five songs, and usually it's by an artist or from a year or whatever. Of course, this time we're just going to be picking our five favorite Christmas songs. And I'm going to go first. What we'll do is we'll talk about all five of mine. Then we're going to play a set featuring all five of those songs. And then we'll come back, talk about Hammond's picks, and then we'll listen to a set of all five of his.
Sounds good? Yep, sounds perfect.
Okay. First one is a classic by The Pretenders. This was, I want to say it was released in 1984 when we were doing our list of stuff from 1984. I almost included the song. And it's funny because it's, you know, it talks about being far away. It talks about snow. And you don't really get the mention of Christmas time until the end of the chorus. You know, hearts were singing. It felt like Christmas time.
And when I first read this, I actually thought it was the 5,000 miles, and I tried to figure out what Benny and June had to do with Christmas.
The Proclaimers? Okay, sure. I guess it was released in 1983. It was so a year before our 1984 thing. Next one on my list is, we mentioned it. Oh, no, we didn't. This is River by Joni Mitchell. I almost said The River, but that's Bruce Springsteen. River, another one that is tangentially related to Christmas, but doesn't really get into anything Christmassy until she actually plays Jingle Bells as part of the song. I guess the opening lyric is, it's coming on Christmas, but it's more talking about, you know, getting away from where she's at. She wishes she had a river that she could skate away on and get away. Third choice is, this is one Tina guessed as soon as we talked about our favorite Christmas songs of all time. And it is the damn goofiest song ever. And I think that's what I love about it. It is Marshmallow World by Johnny Mathis, originally done by Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin.
I picture Homer Simpson bouncing around in a world made of marshmallows when you talk
totally,
about it.
Totally, right? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it totally feels like a dream sequence, Homer Simpson dream sequence, because it is talking about marshmallow clouds and the sun's a pumpkin and, you know, we're on a sugar date. But it is just the funnest, the most fun song, especially when you've got Johnny Mathis and his style of singing, because he doesn't sing exactly on the beats you'd think he'd sing on. And you'll hear that when we play play his version of the song. Next is one we also haven't talked about, Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues and Christy Alley. It was great when she took a break from Cheers and
Veronica's Closet.
Exactly. Christy McCall is who I meant. And that one again begins, you know, it's Christmas Eve in the drunk tank. It's a very un-Christmas-like Christmas song, but it's about being together with the person you love and calling him the other F word. And, that word won't be edited out of the version that you hear me play on the show, but you'll find a lot of covers tend to actually leave that word out. It's gotta be the only Christmas song with a word you have to bleep out.
Yeah, it's like a love song by Pantera called It's Love, which is the most angry love song ever written.
Right?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Okay. It makes me wonder, did Frank Zappa do Christmas music? Then we just didn't catch it.
I don't remember anything. He might have had songs that mentioned Christmas, but there was nothing that that I remember hearing in the when we were doing that show that would have qualified as a Christmas song.
See, that's
for sure.
That's what we missed is the Frank Zappa Christmas album. That's something that this world is lacking.
Wow, no kidding, for sure. And then the last one is one we did mention earlier. You've got everybody in this thing from Paul Young to George Michael to Boy George to Bono, who comes around every time they redo one of these things and sings the same line, "Tonight, thank God it's them instead of you." And that is Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid. Now, accept no imitations. Band-Aid 20, ugh. Band-Aid 30, not so good. Band-Aid 2, nah. I mean, you know, there's moments. You've got Kylie Minogue. You've got Chris Martin from Coldplay in one of these. But there's nothing that compares, I think, to hearing all of these artists who were at the top of their game at that time. There was no, there's no stinker in the lot. I mean, Bananarama,
Midge Ure,
Phil Collins doing drums,
singer from Spandau Ballet,
Tony Hadley, yeah. Right? Yeah, everybody at the top of their game, and it feels like when you listen to some of these other ones like Band-Aid 2 or Band-Aid 20, it's like, oh, there's Chris Martin from Coldplay. Yeah, I don't know who this person is. I don't know who this person is.
Is that more of a result of us being old, or do them just not being what they used to be?
You know what? Let's take a look, because I think that's a really good question. Band-Aid 2. Let's go down the list here and
because I can watch the MTV Music Awards and know only one or two people on the entire show.
Sure.
Now, because
sure.
I'm old.
All right.
Not
well,
because they're not important.
Here's the list. All right. Here's the 1989, which really would have been Band-Aid 5, because it was 5 years after. Bananarama. All right, good. They came back for to do this again. Big Fun.
Big Fun?
All right, I kind of remember a band named Big Fun. Weren't they the ones that...
I know Fun, period, but not Big
yeah,
Fun.
Yeah, well, Fun, period, definitely different. Bros? Remember a band named Bros?
Do they even lift?
Kathy Dennis? The name I know. D-Mob?
I know them.
Jason Donovan?
Nope.
Again, the name's familiar. Kevin Godley from Godley and Cream and 10cc. Glenn Goldsmith?
Mm-mm.
Kylie Minogue?
Mm-hmm.
We know her. The Pasadenas? See, I don't think it's just a matter of
no,
us being old.
I think you might be right here. I think you might be onto something there.
Jimmy Somerville, Technotronic, Wet, Wet, Wet. Let's look at Band-Aid 20. This is a longer list, so I'll just go through these fairly quickly. Daniel and Natasha Bedingfield, Bono, Busted, Tom Chaplin from Keen, Dido, Dizzy Rascal, Ms. Dynamite, Sky Edwards from Morcheeba, Estelle, Feeder, Neil Hannon from The Divine Comedy, Justin Hawkins from The Darkness, Fran Healy from Travis. Then you got Jamelia, Beverly Knight, Lamar, Shaznay Lewis.
Okay, now you're just making stuff up.
Right. You had me all the way up to Morcheeba, and then you lost me. And finally, Band-Aid 30. And this is the most recent, right? So these should be all people that we're totally familiar with.
Sure.
Bono, Ellie Goulding, Chris Martin, Sinead O'Connor, One Direction, Seal, Sam Smith, Ed Sheeran. And then we get Clean Bandit, Paloma Faith, I've heard of. Angelique Kidjo, Rita Ora, Ollie Murs, not Oily Murs, that's a whole different band.
Oily Lemurs.
Dan Smith from Bastille, Underworld, and Jesse Ware. A couple names.
Yeah,
oh,
the-
Roger Taylor from Queen was the drummer on that one.
You had him at Queen.
Yes, exactly. So when we stick around for a Band-Aid 40, then we'll see if it's, you know, if we're really old and it's going to be like, I don't know a single person that they've listed. I don't know any of these people.
I'm not even sure if my kids would know any of these people, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, they'd know. Sure, they'd know, like, Ellie Goulding.
Yeah, I guess
in
so.
One Direction.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Seal. All right, so let's go ahead and get to so this will be the set of those five songs. And we'll kick it off with The Pretenders from 1983. Here's their song, 2,000 Miles.
Pray for the other one. It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18 to 1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome,
you were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the drunks they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing Galway Bay, and the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day. That bed. You scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy faggot. Happy Christmas, you're ours, I pray God it's our love.
The boys of the NYPD choir still singing Galway Bay, and the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day. I could have been someone. I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you. The boys of the NYPD chorus are singing Galway Bay, and the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
Quit this crazy scene. I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long I would teach my feet to fly. To help me, you know, he put me at ease, and he loved me so naughty, made me weak in the knees. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I'm so hard to handle, I'm selfish and I'm sad. Now I gone and lost the best baby that I ever had. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long I would teach my feet to reindeer singing songs of joy and peace. I wish I had a river I could skate away on.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter, when snow comes to cover the ground. It's the time for play, it's a whipped cream day, I wait for it the whole year round. Those are marshmallow clouds being friendly in the arms of the evergreen trees. And the sun is red like a pumpkin head. It's shining so your nose won't freeze. The world is your snowball. See how it grows. That's how it goes whenever it snows. The world is your snowball just for a song. Get out and roll it along. It's a yum, yummy world made for sweethearts. Take a walk with your favorite girl. It's a sugar date. What if spring is late? In winter, it's a marshmallow world.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter, when the snow comes to cover the ground.
It's the time for play. It's a whipped cream day. I wait for it the whole year round.
Marshmallow clouds being friendly in the arms of the evergreen trees.
And the sun is red like a pumpkin head. It's shining so your nose won't freeze. The world is your snowball. See how it grows. That's how it goes whenever it snows. The world is your snowball just for a song. So get out and roll.
a yum, yummy world made for sweethearts. Take a walk with your favorite girl. It's a sugar date, but a spring is late. In winter, it's a marshmallow world.
Those are my five. By the way, did you enjoy Marshmallow World? Come on. I mean, how could that not put you in the mood
for
Christmas?
I was actually engulfed in it when your voice came over the headphones and kind of scared me.
Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to freak you out. But that's it. Full-size double-length release. That is the name of their album. Good news. Yes. And George reminded me that when you bought the Band-Aid single to raise money for the starving kids in Africa, the flip side was an instrumental version of Do They Know It's Christmas, but instead of lyrics, you had each of the different artists on the album with a little message. So it was like, "Hi, this is Paul McCartney, and we'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas. Hi, this is George Michael. I'd like to wish you Merry Christmas and Happy New Year." And
well, then he's from Tennessee.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, he sounds like Dolly Parton. And and then who was it?
You got the lead singer from Big Country saying, "Feed the world, stay alive."
It almost sounds like he's on a different mic. It's like, "Feed the world, stay alive." Anyway, so we'll have to, maybe we'll play some of that later. But let's get to your five.
All right, I'm going to burn through mine and so we can get playing.
Take your time. We got plenty of, you get the next hour, man.
Okay. Oh, well, I got other songs I wanted to play too.
I know. Okay.
All right. My first one's going to be a cover of Carol of the Bells, and it's from December People. Sounds Like Christmas, and it's kind of a prog arrangement of the Carol of the Bells, but it's arranged to sound like Yes, like 90125 era Yes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It's a really cool arrangement of it. And then the next one I picked was The Christmas Morning by the Jimmy C. It's a cute little Christmas song by the guy that does our theme music. And I thought I'd
gotta have that.
Gotta throw that in there. Then I did The 12 Days of Skanica by the Holophonics. And you gotta love ska, 12 Days of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And all the ska jokes they throw in.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Yeah, tons of ska jokes in there. And then White Christmas by Leo Marcoli.
Oh, yeah. The guy who does the heavy guitar metal, rock covers.
Yeah, the heavy metal covers of everything. Right. Off of his Metal Covers Volume 4 is White Christmas. And then I also had to throw in a mutual favorite of ours, the Crescent Superband.
Yes.
And their version of Boogie Woogie Santa Claus.
Oh, excellent. I can't wait to hear that one. All right, cool. These are all going to be relatively new to me. I mean, I'm familiar with the songs, but not familiar with the some of the performances. So this will be great. All right, starting things off with Carol of the Bells by the December People.
Yeah. Christmas is here, the end of the year. We're all full of cheer and red-nosed reindeer. And I wonder what I'll get on Christmas morning. Santa will come with kisses from Mum. And when they're all done with their Christmas fun, well, I wonder what I'll get on Christmas morning. On the tree, and I wonder what I'll get on Christmas morning. It's Christmas again, goodwill to all men. We'll give and we'll take, buy more when it breaks, and I wonder what I'll get.
Two checker bands and a streetlight manifesto CD on the is gonna kill my true love game to me. 12 circle blitz, 11 80s covers, 10 reggae breakdowns. Nine skinny ties, 8 skater punks, 7 sets of phones, 6 picking us, 5 iron threads, 4 new fedoras, 3 brothers hanging, 2 checker pants, and a street like that of Vesto City.
Can I take these handcuffs off?
Blues away. Rock, rock, rock,
There we go. That's awesome. That's great. Boogie Woogie Santa Claus from Caleb Chapman's Crescent. What was it? The Crescent
Superband.
Crescent Superband. I always forget that word. Maddie Christensen on vocals there. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's a great. The whole album is so worth your $9.99 on iTunes. So everyone just run out and buy it.
For sure. Yeah, they're so talented. And they're high school kids, which is the craziest part. You were telling me, reminding me about that. Let's see. White Christmas from Leo Mucciacoli. Just look for Leo.
Yeah. On, Frog Leap Studios actually is probably the easiest way to look for him.
Oh, yeah, right. The Holophonics with the 12 Nights of Skanica. That was a blast, man. That was so funny. Good stuff. Jimmy C, Christmas Morning. Very Queen, Killer Queen era.
Yeah, it's a...
Reminded me of that. Not so much George, who's the big Queen fan in the room, but a little bit. Oops, I'm sorry. I didn't turn your mic on there. There you go.
Yeah, I heard a little of it.
And
sure.
Got to give Jimmy love because he did our theme song.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you, Jimmy, man. You're awesome. And then Carol of the Bells by the December People at the top of that set with their from their Sounds Like Christmas album. And totally prog. Yeah. Super prog, man.
Yeah, I couldn't play Dream Theater, so I had to play that.
Everybody take a drink. We almost need to do a Spice Girls Dream Theater drink contest. I mean, we had a whole episode talking about the Spice Girls, but ever since then, they've come up.
Yeah, they keep coming up like the Power Rangers.
That's right. Oh, geez. Wow. Wait a minute. There's five of them, five Power Rangers, different colors, different themes. Oh my gosh. Very good. Well, I think that's going to do it for this edition of Soundography.
Yeah, I think it
thank
will.
You for, thank you for being here for this, man. This was awesome.
Yeah, this is great. I always love doing this show. This is a highlight of my week.
Me too, man, for sure. You can check us out over there at The Soundography on Twitter. You can visit the website, soundography.com. Email us at soundographypodcast@gmail.com. And along with this episode, on our website, you'll find a link to download some Amazon albums. We'll figure out what we're going to do for this one because it's not as cut and dry as it is for like a greatest hits for an artist. We'll figure something out. But of course, Spotify. You'll find a Spotify playlist that you can check out right there at soundography.com for this episode.
You gonna tease next week?
Yes. And next week is, so we're doing, let's see, so this one's going up, then, yeah, tell
this,
me.
This one's going out Monday.
Right.
And I think that we probably were going to play that secret episode.
That's right, yes.
To help us get ready to record the one that's going to be a lot of work.
That's right. That's exactly right. So a super secret episode. You might have heard it as part of a as part of another charity event earlier this year. But that's all we're going to say about that. If you're on the feed, you're going to get it and it's going to be awesome. You're going to love it.
Yep.
Look for that and then look for a big end of season show, our 15th episode, or really our 16th episode when we
18th
fit in this,
episode if we can't count
something
them all.
Like that. Yeah, exactly. And that'll be the episode to close out the season, and then we do it all over again after the first of the year. So it'll all make sense. Don't worry. Just stay subscribed to the feed and you'll get shows, you'll listen to them, and you'll like them.
Yep.
How's that? So on behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Ibbitt saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.